This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Kind of chilly start to the morning, but it's going to warm up rapidly, going up to near 80 today, and it's going to be warm throughout the week. That chance for showers on Saturday, unfortunately. Right now it's 57 degrees and feels a little bit cooler than that outside because it's damp and maybe some patchy fog. We're getting ready to talk to Senator Jay Luno, Louisiana State Senator, obviously, and about a bill that he pre-filed, and we've all been there where you're on the interstate. I know cab drivers are especially guilty of it. Not trying to call you out, but, man, going from I-10 heading toward Metairie and Kenner, and they sit in the left lane. They go 50, 55 because they're going to the airport, and they're not passing anybody. Then if you get somebody in the right lane or the center lane that's going 50, I've been in backups the entire time that was caused by somebody in the left lane not doing the speed limit or passing anybody. And that's what Senator Luno, who joins us now, wants to fix. How you doing, sir? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Tell me what made you want to file this bill and what the bill says.
So, actually, this has been a law in Louisiana for quite some time, and some people don't realize that, but the law is that you use the left lane for passing and not for traveling. The right lane is for the travel lane. Driving up and down the highways of Louisiana from the northern part of my district up in Lincoln Parish all the way down to the southern part of Boyle's Parish and then on to Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. I encountered a lot of folks that apparently didn't understand that was the law in the state of Louisiana. And I've also found out that this activity also causes accidents on our highways that can lead to running up our insurance costs as well. And that's one of the things that we've been working on in the legislature to try to remedy is the high cost of automobile insurance. So that was kind of the genesis of this, and we started from there and got to where we are today.
So it's already illegal to do that, right? And some people are saying, well, why do we need another law? Why don't we enforce the one we have? But you did some digging. And apparently you found out that it's from state police is not as easy to enforce as you would think, the current law?
That's right. The current law is a little bit convoluted in that in some instances it requires a 10-mile-per-hour deviation from the speed limit or the difference in the speed of the vehicles and those kind of things, which made it very difficult for the police to enforce. It also, there was some confusion by some law enforcement agencies about people driving in the left lane when they were on a place on a four-lane highway where they could actually turn left, which is legal. And so we're trying to just kind of simplify this and give the police some discretion in whether they should stop someone who's actually impeding traffic or someone who's just trying to get to the location that they're actually going to.
I don't know how I understand you're an attorney. Are you not, sir?
I am.
So I don't understand how you enforce this because who's to say that I'm passing somebody, and look, I'm all with you. There's nothing that drives me crazy. I don't know if you heard me say that before I brought you on about cab drivers from heading from New Orleans into the airport, just tying up the left lane, and then you get somebody on side of them, and the entire interstate is backed up because somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do. But how do you determine who's passing at a slower rate, passing somebody slower than them in the left lane, right? If somebody in the middle lane's going 45, for example, and then somebody's going 55 passing them, but then somebody's going 65 behind them, it would appear as though they're impeding traffic. And I'm not trying to get this make this incredibly complicated. I'm just trying to figure out the law enforcement standpoint, how you go about enforcing the law.
So one of the things that I found was this law is rarely enforced. There are very few tickets that are written for violation of this law, fewer than almost any other that deals with moving violations. And one of the reasons was because the police officers really just didn't feel like they had the ability to make the determination of whether or not the person was truly impeding traffic and how they would go about proving that if they had to in a court. So what we're looking for is citations to be written to the most flagrant violators, people who insist on driving in the left lane when it's obvious that they're blocking traffic, people who drive side by side with another vehicle for miles at a time and with long lines of traffic behind them. We're not making it where we're reinventing the wheel. We're just trying to simplify it somewhat so we can stop some of this. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that people with out-of-state license plates, when you drive up behind them on the interstate or the highways in Louisiana, they tend to move over. If they don't see you coming, then they see you coming. They tend to move over.
Yep.
And so we were hoping we're going to get some of that. And, look, that's one of the reasons what we did with the fines on this. The fine originally, I think, was a $100 fine. If you were found guilty of this, I've increased that to $150 for the first offense, $250 for a second offense that occurs within 12 months of the first one, and then $350 for an offense that occurs within another 12 months, plus the possibility of up to 30 days in jail if you're a flagrant violator.
I've driven up to your area, beautiful area of the state. I got a kid that lives up north and went to Northwestern State, so I went up the traditional way through, I guess, Baton Rouge and Lafayette and also 190, and then now I go through Vicksburg to get up to Ruston. And it is a massive problem, and I'm all with you. I just don't know how you enforce this or how you – maybe it's education. I don't know. We'll talk more when we come back. Talking to Jay Luna, Louisiana State Senator, and as we talk about this, somebody passed him on – they were in the left lane. Somebody passed him in the middle lane and flipped him the bird and then got in front of him and went like 55, 60 miles an hour. And so I don't know. Somebody just doesn't want anybody – sometimes people don't want anybody in front of them. And to be fair, there are others that think they are passing everybody and that the left lane is the Autobahn and they can go 120, 140, and you can't have that either. However, going to the senator's point, I do know that having seen it a lot where you got somebody in the left lane that just won't pull over, then they're forced to pass them on the right side, which is not safe. So we'll pick it up when we come back, 721. If you got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Senator Jay Luno. That name just sounds so familiar, Jay. That's why I keep stumbling over it. Were you in a car business at some point, or your family?
No, never been in the car business.
Huh.
Been in a lot of other businesses, but not that one.
Maybe I knew somebody named Jay Luno at one point. Anyway, talking about slowpokes in the left lane, do you think it might have something to do with education? Because I always wonder, do the people not know any better? Like you mentioned, go ahead.
I think it does in some instances. The other thing, I think it's a mindset. I talked to a gentleman one time, and we were talking about the subject. He was an older friend of mine, a very conservative person, and he told me, he said, you know, I'm a taxpaying citizen of the state of Louisiana, and if I want to drive in the left lane, I'll drive in the left lane. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to change that kind of mindset. You know, I've seen so many times, I noticed you had the president of Farm Bureau on a commercial just moments ago, and during sugarcane season, when there's trucks are on the road, they drive mm-hmm. slower, and a lot of times people will get up beside them, and they'll cause a traffic jam. Now, not only does that does that make it a dangerous situation because it causes road rage and people passing unsafely, sometimes even on the shoulder so they can get around these jams. But you're impeding other people that have places to be on a timely manner, the people that are trying to get their kids to school on time, the people that are trying to get to work on time, and not to mention the freight that's being moved across the highways in Louisiana. We have, you know, more ports than almost any state, and we have a lot of truck traffic, and it impedes that traffic and makes it dangerous as well.
And these trucks can't start and stop on a dime. And I've seen people in the right lane that do try to pass in the left lane, but they don't want to take it off of cruise control, so they want to pass somebody going 60 in the left lane. They're in the middle lane. They want to keep the cruise control at 60 and pass somebody. And I think people also need to realize, Senator, that if you're going to pass somebody, pass them. You can't just keep the cruise control
That's
set,
correct.
Right?
That's correct. There's so many issues that you see, and when you get to multiple lane roads, when you get out of four lane roads and you get to six and eight, it just compounds the problems when you see people doing this. So we're trying to bring some attention to it. It's not going to be a perfect fix. Rarely is legislation a perfect fix. Sometimes it takes some amendments, some tweaking to get it right. But we're trying to start here to try to make some change for the good.
I got to bring up insurance rates because, I was saying earlier, Senator, when I work out, I watch Sanford and Son because I like to laugh, right, and get away from reality. And I was watching an episode from 1973, and he was talking about whiplash rhyming with get cash, and that was back in the 70s. It seems as though that has become an industry in Louisiana with the attorneys just talking about how they won this much for their client and that much. You get hit by a truck with a sign on it, don't do anything, call me. Is there anything that can be done to address that, and what role does that play? Soft tissue damage is what Jim Donilon used to say about lawsuit abuse when it comes to auto rates and maybe bringing us at least down to Texas or Mississippi numbers.
So the fact of the matter is that we have been working on that for quite some time now. We've been having, since last session last year, we've been having numerous meetings throughout to try to address that. The only thing that we've really done in the past 40 years to try to address this is what's known as tort reform. Mm-hmm. Tort reform is nothing more than taking rights away from people who have been injured to about how they go about recovering for their damages. That has not worked. It's been an abysmal failure. It's proven in not only in Louisiana, but other states. And in fact, the insurance industry, many CEOs will tell you, tort reform doesn't lower insurance rates. But one of the things that we have recently found out is that we've been hearing for years, the 10 years I've been in the Senate, that insurance companies in Louisiana are losing money. They're not making money. Well, that's not correct. We use their own information from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners to find out they're making a lot of money in Louisiana. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. Every business needs to be profitable. We need those businesses here in Louisiana. We need them to be profitable. But insurance needs to be regulated more because it's mandatory that we buy it. As citizens of Louisiana,
let me run this by you real quick.
We have to buy it.
We only have a minute left. I'm going to tell Dave Cohen we're going to be a minute late on news here. Sorry, Dave. But real quick, 30-40-second response, Senator. Is there any way, would there be any way to tie it into, okay, you want to charge high insurance rates, that's fine, but you either have to write home insurance, homeowners insurance, or cut the rates on that. It's like, okay, so you want to milk people on the auto rates, that's fine. You're making a lot of money, but you're going to have to make up for it on the homeowner side. Any way to link that?
You know, it's a difficult situation. We've seen in Florida the problems they have where they had some companies that came in at writing multiple lines, and some of these companies were taking money out of the state of Florida and sending it to affiliate companies, and they ended up insolvent or bankrupt. And so it creates a whole other set of issues. But that is one of the things we can look at. Look, we're going to see lots of bills coming up, not just tort reform, but a lot of regulatory-type bills and things like that coming up in the legislature this year that hopefully – we're going to be able to get a handle on this and start bringing some of these rates down.
Thank you, Senator. We'll talk to you again during the session. Got to go. Dave Cohen here, WWL First News. 744, 16 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend, Louisiana State Senator Pat Connick. How you doing, Pat?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Before we do anything else, we got to talk about what's happening on Saturday, March 29th, coming up.
Yeah, the 23rd Annual Louisiana Crawfish Bowling Championships at Immaculate Conception School of Marrero. We got 50 teams again this year, plus it's going to be a great, great time again. We're looking forward to having you as a judge.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being there, although I feel like sometimes to me, I just think they're good or they're bad. And then you got people like Ian McNulty that are there that are these, what do you call them, aficionados or experts that, well, a little bit too much garlic, a little bit too much this, a little bit too much that. And I'm just thinking, well, it's good. Give me more. Let's talk about imported seafood and the crawfish festival in Chalmette and Chinese crawfish and not the proper signage. What does the law say now? Pat, I know there's been something you've been passionate about, you've been involved with. What can be done to can Louisiana provide enough seafood, or can America provide enough seafood for the country? Is that what it's about, or is it just about letting people know what they're eating? Take me through all of this, please.
I think the key to that legislation is letting people know, giving them the option of buying foreign seafood or local seafood. It's labeling packages that says, product of China, product of Indonesia, or product of the Louisiana, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America, whatever you want to call it. But it's just not being deceived, having a consumer not being deceived by thinking they're buying a Cajun, you know, Louisiana brand product when it's coming from China. And that's what the law that we passed says, and we have some penalties that are coming in place. But some stores are abiding by it, some are not, and we have to have some enforcement come in and you know, make them follow the rules.
How hard is it for people that are in a crawfish business to know where the crawfish are coming from, or is it that hard at all?
No, a lot of crawfish, you know, came from here, but the stuff in the packaging right now, if you look at the back, some of it's very, you know, small print, but you have the Cajun labeling on it. You think it's from Louisiana. You got the state of Louisiana symbol on it, but you're being deceived. We can't prevent foreign seafood from coming in. You know, the courts have ruled on that, but we can make those who import and those who sell it and package it declare where it's coming from. So the consumer has a choice of saying, okay, I want the cheaper product from China, or I want the good stuff coming from Broad Bridge.
Let's talk about Amendment Number 2. The ballot, early voting, I think, is done, and then we got the election on March 29th, the day of the crawfish championship. So vote and then go eat your crawfish. Tell me about lost my train of thought here for a second, Pat. I'm sorry. About the Amendment 2, yes. I'm sorry. About the reasons you think people should vote for it.
Tommy, I've been in Baton Rouge for about 17 years now. I think this is one of the most important pieces of legislation from a tax standpoint that we have passed since I've been up there. This is going to change the business climate in the state. It's going to make Louisiana more competitive. It's going to take away the old Huey Long laws, way of doing business, getting out of our system. It's going to hopefully make Louisiana more competitive, attract manufacturing jobs, and keep our families in Louisiana, and give those who left a reason to come back. You know, I think it's that important. We need to change the way we do business in the state, and this Amendment Number 2, I think, is the way to go to make that happen.
What would you say to people that say it's too much too fast, that there might be some unintended consequences in there, et cetera?
You know what? This is a long time coming. It's not fast enough for me. You know, I heard, you know, we passed this in 2 weeks, but that's not, you know, we did pass it, but we worked on it for over a year, making it, trying to please everybody and make Louisiana more competitive. It's going to reduce the lower the state income tax to a flat 3%. It's going to raise teacher and support staff pay. And then we're going to pay down $2 billion in debt, and we're going to be saving $300 million in interest payments every year. It's like paying your house note off. And then that interest payment, instead of going to the bank, will go to allow us to build roads, give teachers raises, do the things we need to do. And it's going to protect the homestead exemption and double the exemption for seniors from $12,500 to you know, $25,000. I think it's a great, great piece of legislation that can, you know, really do good things for the state.
Right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. That means a lot coming from you, Senator Pat Connick, endorsing Amendment Number 2. We'll talk about DOTD when we come back and more. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Time now for traffic on WWL. 6, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend and fellow Shaw graduate, Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator, about Amendment Number 2. Pat, somebody texted in and said it doesn't give teachers raises, he's lying, et cetera, et cetera. Larry Carter was on with us earlier at 6:45, President of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers. He says he's firmly behind this Amendment Number 2, and he thinks if you want a permanent teacher pay raise, you should. He's urging people to vote for this, and he's the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers. Thoughts on people that are – go ahead.
If I put $2,000 in your pocket that you didn't have every year from here on out, that's a pay raise to me. So you can say whatever you want, but I think the money going to the teachers is what's taking place, and that's going to help the teachers, and that's the reason why I support this bill.
Tell me why you think and why you're so behind this and why you think it's going to change things business-wise in Louisiana and be a good thing for the state, Pat.
I think what we're doing in the past is not working. We're being, Mississippi is getting manufacturing jobs, Alabama, Texas, Arkansas. This is a way to start competing with those states, and that's why it's so important to me and so important to everybody else that we get this done. We have to stop the old ways of doing business, and this is, I think, is a step in a major step in the right direction. That's why I'm passionate about it.
So along those lines, what happens if it doesn't pass?
We're going to try it again. We're going to keep pushing. We're not going to give up because that's so important to the state and to our future, our grandkids and kids and families.
Somebody texted about seafood. Why not just make it illegal to sell foreign seafood in Louisiana? Can that be done, or is that federal?
That's federal. It's unconstitutional. The Commerce Clause prevents that. We could import, what we need to import. But the whole thing is this, is not being deceived by a product from China being packaged as a product from Louisiana.
Somebody else texted and said, you want to make America great again, buy American products, buy American seafood, buy Louisiana seafood, and don't buy the imports. And I think sometimes you got to let your wallet back up what your mouth says sometimes and be serious and committed to what it is that you want to be committed to. Tell me about DOTD. I'll bring up the Bell Chase Bridge and what the long-range plans are for that. The other crossing at, I'm trying to think of down the road there. I can't think of the name of it right now, Pat.
The Peters Road Bypass. Plaquemines Parish has so much potential. They have those plants being built, billion-dollar plants, but there's no way to get in to and from them. We need a second bridge in Bell Chase, the Peters Road Bridge that's going to go along the Harvick Canal. We've been working with Jacob Bro, who's a hell of a state rep for that area, and pushing hard to get some funding and get that project underway and moving. Plaquemines has given a lot to the state. We got to get back to them. So,
does expansion that expansion on the LNG plant, does that change the equation at all? Where it's like even more revenue for the state, more jobs, more money, et cetera.
Absolutely, it's going to bring more jobs, but it's going to be more construction jobs and put more traffic burden on Plaquemines Parish. And they have one way in and one way out, basically for that parish, and it's a toll road, and I think it's so unfair for that to take place, but that was done, way in the past, but we got to try to find a way to mitigate those losses.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate your time. See you Saturday. Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator. He'll be at the Big Crawfish Cook-Off March 29th at Our Lady of... Tell me, Pat. I forgot the... Pat, you there? He hung up. I'll tell you about the details when we come back. I got a lot in front of me right now, but we'll get it together. Back in a flash, WWL.